Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
To some extent, I'm sure it could be said about every culture, but to the Southern culture and even the gospel music culture, food is a big, big part of it. Last week, if you were listening, we had Wes Hampton of the Gaither Vocal Band and Karen Peck and New River around our table, and we were talking about food, and we were offering recipes and just kind of getting an insight on how these artists eat and what they eat and what they enjoy. And I had so much discussion around the dinner table that we decided to serve up this second course, and we're ready to roll now with part two. Wes Hampton of the Gaither Vocal Band is with us. He has a new cookbook out. It's called A Place at the Table, and you can find out more about that at weshampton.com. But also around our table, we have Karen Peck and New River, which is Karen and Susan Peck, and their new guy, Jeff Hawes. So let's get started.
Karen, whenever I saw the video of you cooking at your homecoming, it was a lot of country favorites. So is that what you end up having your family request, or is there a special dish that you have?
Well, we usually have a very small garden, and but that meal that you saw was during our homecoming, and I'd use fresh corn, and of course I had to get that from somebody else's garden. Our corn didn't do well, but and then green beans, and but probably I think probably my favorite dessert would be my coconut cake. We were in Kentucky a few years ago, and I don't eat coconut cake that much, but it was this lady cooked for us, and she fixed this coconut cake and said it's called Easy Coconut Cake. So it became a smash for my family, because every year, for some reason, both sides of Ricky's family, my husband's family, and my family don't think of me as a cook. So every Christmas and Thanksgiving, I'm the paper good girl, you know, and I'll say, y'all, do y'all want me to fix something? No, Karen, you're fine. You bring the paper goods. Susan, as my witness, I did get graduated to bringing the sweet tea, and it's real sugar. Anyway, three years ago, at Thanksgiving, I decided to bring the paper goods to Ricky's family's house. Yeah. We'd been married at that time 17 years. And I said, y'all, because every time I bring anything in the past, they never would even try it. And so, anyway, so I brought this coconut cake, and it was really pretty, I will have to say. And I said, y'all, I brought this coconut cake, and y'all might want to try it. It was a smash. Took me 17 years to get, to get to the point to where Ricky's family would say, okay, Karen, you bring the coconut cake. And so now, 3 years later, I have foundered them on my coconut cake. And they're saying, oh, you can just bring the paper goods and the tea. So anyway, but this coconut cake is very good. It's just, and honestly, it's not even from scratch as far as the actual cake. It's just the, I think it's the Duncan Hines with the cup of pudding. And it's just the yellow cake mix. So you get that, and then you cook it, but don't get it too done. I mean, make sure it's very moist. It's three layers. And then in the meantime, I take, like, some sour cream and then mix it with sugar. And then keep a cup of that out. And then I take and just put it on all my layers and then stack them up. And then I take that cup of that sour cream and sugar, and I put it back in where my mixer bowl is, and then I use a big 16-ounce Cool Whip, and I pour it in there, and oh, I forgot, frozen coconut. You put frozen coconut in that first little thing with the sour cream and sugar, and then you add that to the Cool Whip, and then you take it and you just dump it all over. It looks like a big bonbon. And you dump it over those three layers of cake, and then you take your flake coconut and just mold it and make it what you want it to be. And so that's probably my best dessert going right now.
Wow. That sounds good.
Yes.
That's Karen Peck from Karen Peck and New River. Karen and Susan Peck and Jeff Halls around our table. Also, Wes Hampton of the Gaither Vocal Band. And Wes has this new cookbook called A Place at the Table. And it's available at weshampton.com. We've got more discussions and recipes coming up around the corner here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
¶¶
than have enough to tie a knot and just hold on. Where is God? I hear you say, He is never far away. He has all the answers if you'll call upon His name. All you need is an ounce of
shown me that they care. And I know they'll still walk with me, no matter what's ahead. Yeah, so much more than just their words, their lives have always said. Welcome to the family, you can feel at home here. There's a lot of love that goes beyond these years. There's nothing like the fellowship of those who love the Lord. So welcome to the family. Oh, welcome to the family, you can feel at home here. There's a lot of love that goes beyond these years. There's nothing like the fellowship of those who love the Lord. So welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. There's always room for more.
My guests today are Wes Hampton from the Gaither Vocal Band, and from Karen Peck in New River, Karen and Susan Peck, and Jeff Hawes. And we're talking about what else? Food.
And Susan's got stuff too.
Yeah, mine's not very healthy, sorry. But our grandmother always made this steak and gravy. Yeah. And so I never could conquer it, but I always loved it. And anytime she wanted to fix us anything, mine was the steak and gravy.
Yeah.
And so finally, a few years ago, I decided I'm going to make it. Although I did use olive oil, but I took my cube steak, Floured it, and then put it in the grease, the olive oil, and fried it just on both sides a little bit. Yeah. Turned it down, put water in there, and a little bit of flour in there, and let it simmer for about an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It is so good. Not very healthy, though.
Oh.
Notice how we look at Wes when we say that.
Yeah. No,
not very healthy,
but I am really trying since the first of the year, trying to do the vegetables and grill the peppers and the zucchini and the squash. And my kid, my son, Joseph, and my husband, oh, you cooking that again tonight? I said, we're going to eat it, though. You're going to have to just go on and let's eat it.
Yeah.
I wanted to add something. You were talking about that soup. My friend Michelle Davis is an excellent cook, and she told me about this recipe. And what you do is take your crock pot. You're talking about your chicken. If you don't want to use the rotisserie chicken, take a crock pot and put a scoop of butter in the bottom of that crock pot and melt it, and then take an onion. I usually do two onions. Slice it up and lay it in the bottom of the crock pot.
Oh, my word. That sounds so good.
And then take your chicken breasts and season both sides and put it in that crock pot, and don't put any butter, any water or anything like that in it, and then cook it for about 4 or 5 hours. Oh, it is so good. That's a great way to fix chicken. Because I even take it out and put barbecue sauce on it.
It seems
the casserole.
So easy to do. You just throw
very
it in
easy. I fixed it this week.
Wow.
My guests today are Wes Hampton of the Gaither Vocal Band, and from Karen Peck in New River, Karen and Susan Peck, and Jeff Hawes. And we're talking about food and offering some great recipes, not only from Karen Peck in New River, but also from Wes Hampton's new cookbook called A Place at the Table.
I was driving around down South Louisiana. I stopped in a town called Galliana. I saw a sign on a church that said, Fish Friday Night. Little old Cajun preacher was preaching, reminded me of an old camp meeting, and he brought St. Matthew 4:19 to life. He said, I catch 'em, God cleans 'em. I bait the hook with the love of the kingdom. I've been called to be a fisher of men, I catch 'em, God cleans 'em. Heaven knows he saves every soul that believes him. I reel him in and he washes away their sin. Well, it didn't take him long for him to catch my attention. He was long on grace and short on religion. He said a prayer and that was all that she wrote. Said amen, and as God as my witness, I fell in that big old net of forgiveness. And before I knew it, we were all in the same boat. He said, I can
catch them. God cleans them. I bait the hook with the love of the kingdom. I've been called to be a fisherman, yeah. I catch them. God cleans them. Heaven knows he saves every soul that believes him. I reel them in and he washes away their sins. Oh. God cleans them. I bait the hook with the love of the kingdom. I've been called to be a fisherman, yeah. I catch them. God cleans them. Heaven knows he saves every soul that believes him. I reel them in and he washes away their sins. I reel them in and he washes away their sins.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and supplies our every need. Oh, this sweet, this sup with Jesus all the time.
Come and dine,
the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. Bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry all the time.
Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side.
You're listening to Daniel, Brett, and Friends. The topic is food. And around our table, we have Karen and Susan Peck and Jeff Halls from Karen Peck and New River. And we have Wes Hampton from the Gaither Vocal Band. Our discussion of food around this table picks up here.
Homecoming people have some great recipes. And in particular, Vestal, when you talked about coconut cake, and I didn't get hers, but I used her recipe and made that, and it was a big hit. And her secret, do you remember seeing the videos of the secret that Vestal would do? After she would make all of the cake and it looked finished, she would take a knife and she'd stab the cake, open it up, and pour coconut milk into the center, and then close it back up like you'd never done it, you know, and then it'd make it extra creamy.
That's
and
good.
good moist. And Gloria has this cranberry chicken recipe that I'll have to get the recipe up for you guys. It's really, really good. We've used Cornish hens. I think Gloria's recipe calls for just chicken breasts. And also her red raspberry cake.
That stuff's amazing.
And David Phelps found this recipe for something called Screaming Heads.
Oh, he told me about them.
Which is Brussels sprouts. And most people say, ugh. And I think David said, ugh. But it was really good. I don't know if it was a, I don't think it was a Paula Deen, but it was a Food Network thing. It is so not healthy, but it is so, it's rich. It's got prosciutto. It's kind of, it is over the top. It's good stuff.
That sounds so good.
Always a Place at the Table, or A Place at the Table, is the new cookbook by Wes Hampton. It's available at WesHampton.com. We're sitting with Wes Hampton, Karen Peck, Susan Peck, and Jeff Hawes of Karen Peck in New River. Hey, Wes, get another recipe for us.
Yeah, are we going to do like a dessert?
Let's do a dessert, yeah.
Okay, I keep pushing the dessert because that's my absolute favorite thing to do. All right, you know what? I'm going to do something that you could really hear this over the radio and you could go make it. It is so easy. But I found this a few different places. I don't know where this originated. This is not my recipe, I will say. I've tweaked it some, but it's still not mine. But it's one that Paula Deen, I saw in Paula Deen, found it in Southern Living cookbooks. But I named it Orange Cream Cheese Love because it's pure love. And you need to go home and you need to make this, okay? It has about 8 ingredients, okay? You get 2 cans of refrigerated biscuits, buttermilk biscuits, which are not healthy. Then you get a block of cream cheese. You get a stick of butter, vanilla extract. You get a big orange, sugar, and a little powdered sugar. Those are all the ingredients, okay? So you got 6 or 7 ingredients. Basically, you take the biscuits out of the can, and you roll them out just a little bit to where they're, I don't know, the size of, diameter of like a, I don't know, like a little smaller than the diameter of a baseball. You get a little tablespoon or so of the cream cheese, put it in the middle, and you pinch it over to where it makes like a half moon shape, okay? You dip that in the melted butter, and then you have another bowl with the sugar and the orange zest, okay? So you zest the orange, you mix it with the sugar, so you get orange zest sugar, okay? Dip the biscuit in the butter to get it wet, dip it in the sugar, the orange zest sugar. Line a Bundt pan with all of the biscuits filled with the cream cheese dipped in the sugar. You just keep lining it. Then you pour what's left of the melted butter and the sugar all over the top of it. Put it in the oven and bake it at 350 for about 40 minutes. Take it out, flip it over. Then you get, in the meantime, what's baking. You juice the orange and you add powdered sugar to it. So you get this orange glaze.
Oh, wow.
So when it comes out of the oven, you pour the orange glaze over the top of it. It's one of the best things I've ever tasted. I'm serious. It is amazing. So,
And it's easy because like the bread part's the biscuit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy. I mean, anybody can do it. Wow. It's hardly any work. The hardest part is zesting the orange, and that's nothing. So orange cream cheese love, you need to try it. We have it every Christmas at my house.
That sounds great.
It's amazing. And you can even put chopped pecans in the bottom of it, too.
Oh, wow.
So it's really good.
While we're talking about easy stuff, caramel, how do you say it?
Caramel.
Mm-hmm. I say that, too.
Caramel.
Okay, do you like it? Are you a fan of caramel? I could take it or leave it, but it's good. But I did this recipe over, somebody called it in, a listener did, and it may not be the safest thing in the world because you really have to, you can't leave this unattended, although it takes a long time. It takes a long time, but it's so simple and so easy to make. You take a can of sweetened condensed milk.
Yes.
Take the paper off, don't open the can, put the can in a pan of boiling water.
Yeah.
Boil the water, and you have to keep a check on it because the water will evaporate. So you have to keep water going, for 4 hours. At the end of the 4 hours, you take it off the heat, let it sit for an hour to cool. And when you open the can, in essence, you have a can of caramel. And then you can put it to a pie crust, put some whipped cream on top, it is so rich.
Yeah.
It is so rich.
Yeah,
yes.
I haven't tried it, but the guy that used to play piano for us, he tried that, and he would bring that often to the bus.
Yeah.
Also, you have tasted it?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it is great.
Have you tried it?
No. Rory.
That is
Rory
really good. But you can put it in a graham cracker crust, pie crust, and pour it in that. It's very good. And then you can put whipped cream on it if you want. But I just seem to just have the pie.
Yeah.
It's
but
good.
But you have to watch it. I mean, somebody called and said they had a very dangerous experience where they took a nap And they woke up, and the can was protruding, and they had to throw it out their back door. And in the middle of sailing through the air, it exploded, and hot caramel went everywhere.
Wow.
So
that
be careful.
Sounds like you, Karen. Was that you that called in?
Yeah, I know.
I have horror stories. And Ricky and I first got married because I'd have this really bad habit of, like, if I was cooking pinto beans or white. One time I fixed white soup beans, and I'd get on the phone, and I forget. And so I had fixed this meal, and I was so excited because everything was going well, and I got on the phone. I think I was talking to my mom, and I smelled something burning, and I thought, oh, no. And I went in, and, of course, it wasn't in flames, but the pot was just about in flames. Mm-hmm. Well, the beans on the top were dry, but it tasted like popcorn. And I thought, well, we like popcorn. And my son at the time was like 3 years old, and I thought, I am not throwing those beans out. And so I just put them in the pan, dipped them out and everything. So Ricky came home and he was eating. He said, "Baby, these beans taste funny." I said, "Well, they taste like popcorn." And little Matthew went, "Mama, they don't taste good." I said, "But you like popcorn." And so, but it was, that was, and there's all kinds of stories like that. Am I right? Yes.
Down by the tabernacle, oh, where the junebugs dance and the lemonade flow. And we prayed and we sang till the sun sank low, laughing with our sisters and brothers. Down by the tabernacle, hey, where you knew you were loved and you wanted to stay. Though the summer heat was like judgment day, we always enjoyed each other.
Well, we went to the river and some were baptized. We clapped our hands and testified.
Then we passed around the chicken and the buttermilk pie, and nothing ever tasted better.
Then the kids played ball and the babies just played, and the old men napped in under the shade.
And the women picked flowers and sipped lemonade, and they sit around talking together.
Go back to the time when life was good.
When everybody lived the way that they should. At least that's the way I recall.
We loved our God with all of our might, and everybody knew the wrong from the right.
And we worked all day and we slept all night, and we were proud and stood tall.
Hampton of the Gaither Vocal Band, and from Karen Peck in New River, Karen and Susan Peck and Jeff Hawes. And we're talking about food and offering some great recipes, not only from Karen Peck in New River, but also from Wes Hampton's new cookbook called A Place at the Table.
Susan, what's been your biggest mishap in the kitchen, either a fire or just a total flop?
I was cooking a Christmas dinner. And so I've got a gas, so it's, you know, it flames up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to take the pot off, and the flame caught my arm and burned big spot on my arm.
You're so Lucy and Ethel.
I had a situation where, this is before, and please promise to be my friend after I tell you this, because this is really gross. But I was going to, we were not married, but I was going to make my fiance, I guess, at the time, a dinner. And I thought, I thought that you could just kind of throw anything together and it worked. And so I started, and I had no idea how to make lasagna. And I don't know what possessed me to try to make lasagna, but I boiled the egg noodles that I had, and then I thought, you're supposed to put an egg in there, right, to hold it. So after I drained the noodles, I put them in the casserole dish. I put an egg to hold it together. Then I said, well, what kind of meat do I use? I did not plan this. This was not like go to the grocery store and buy. I just had whatever I had. And so I opened up probably a can of salmon. And then potatoes and green beans. And then mozzarella on top and bacon. And right, it's going to come out magical. And it's just going to be a wonderful seafood lasagna. No, we went out that night.
Did she go out with... Oh, you married her.
Yeah, she married me. Is probably the problem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
I made this. Was that the last date?
The thing is, horrible. When she smelled it, it smelled good. And then when she looked at it, it looked a little like it wasn't being held together. I thought the egg would have solved that problem, Karen. But it was not holding together, and it was falling apart. That's pretty bad. So I've learned my lesson there. But that's my biggest thing. I honor my wife and praise her every day for the fact that if we've got to eat in 10 minutes, she can walk in there and start the stove and get the pan and just start putting stuff as she's going and make it work. Me, I have to get all the little dishes out and measure, and I do like I'm doing a TV show, and I have everything set up ahead of time. Now, friends, we can cook. It's good stuff. You've got red velvet cake that you've brought.
Yeah.
You want to talk about this?
Yeah, I've acquired a few red velvet cake recipes. There was a neighbor of my mother and father-in-law's who brought a red velvet cake to them one time, and it was just amazing. And he actually got the recipe from this old lady who never gave it out. So basically, I ended up getting that. And basically, it's a red velvet cake recipe you can find on the internet. But the big difference is the icing.
It is.
See, I'm not a buttercream icing fan. A lot of people like it. I don't have to have it. Buttercream, it's just not. It doesn't have enough flavor to me. So I'm a cream cheese.
Oh yeah.
Person. Yeah. So you get that icing right there has. Let me see. It has a pound of cream cheese, a stick of butter, and then 2.5 pounds of confectioner's sugar. Mm-hmm. And then you put like a tablespoon and a half of vanilla, which is a lot of vanilla. Mm. And that's it, and icing. But then the secret is to keep the cake really moist. Is it moist?
It is.
Oh, very moist.
It is. And it's been sitting out here for a while.
And this is something anybody can do, and it makes your cake so much better, and it's the easiest thing. You get equal parts water and sugar. You make a simple syrup. You get like a half a cup of water, half a cup of sugar. If you do like a two-layer cake, that's plenty. Mm-hmm. Half a cup of water, half a cup of sugar. Bring it to a boil in a little saucepan and keep it covered. Once all the sugar's dissolved, take it off, let it cool down. Pour it in one of those little ketchup squirt bottles you see in restaurants. You can buy those at restaurant supply stores. I bought a couple of them for like 50 cents. Fill that up, and then after the cake is cooled, you take it out of the pans, and you put the first layer on your cake plate, and you get something like a chopstick or a new pencil or something to make a small hole, and you just poke holes on the cake, and then you squirt that syrup, half the syrup on one layer. You just drench that layer in the syrup, then you ice it, put the other layer, do the same thing.
That's a great idea.
And it makes it a moist cake every time. It is amazing. So
I have to say, I don't know if anybody else will agree, red velvet cake's one of those things a lot of people don't get excited about, because usually it's pretty, but it's not very exciting to taste.
It's kind of creepy. I mean, come on, red, really bright red cake?
Bright red cake.
But that's good red velvet cake.
That is good red velvet cake. That's something you get excited about.
Most of them are really dry, like you say, you know, but that is very moist.
Good.
Good stuff. All right, Jeff. Jeff's the new guy with Karen Peck and New River and has been quiet and back in the corner, so we've invited him up here to the microphone. What's your food story growing up?
Gosh, pretty much the same. I mean, I grew up in North Alabama, and so we ate a lot of fried food every day, and that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, and like Susan said, it was, you know, we knew we were going to have fried potatoes and some kind of a bean and chicken or something, and that was every night.
And you're single, right?
Single, yes.
So do you cook?
I don't cook a lot. I used to cook a lot in college. My favorite thing to cook was tater tot casserole. And so I would be there, and I would be all alone, and I was starving, and I was like, and that's the only thing I knew how to make was like a grilled cheese and tater tot casserole. Right. So I would go, and it's, you know, it's delicious, and you get, you know, you just brown your hamburger meat and put it in a casserole dish, and then you get your tater tots, and you put them right on top, and then shredded cheese and some green onion. And that was my meal for like 3 or 4 days.
Oh.
Because it would do me for a while.
Tell them about your meal that you made for your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. It was, well, I had all these great ideas, too, that I was going to do the lasagna. And then I realized that I couldn't make it either, so I went with Stouffer's, which she saw the box, and it kind of ruined everything. But so we did that, and I made the cheese sticks and everything, and had the table set up with the rose petals all over it and the candles, and I was winning some major points. And then after I served the meal, we were just sitting there, and I was all nervous because it was kind of like dark, you know, and everything. And the spastic arm just went crazy, and I knocked over my glass of tea all over the table. And then, you know, she's trying to help me, and it's just a disaster. So, and there was tea all on the floor and everywhere, but at least we made it through the meal. So she was impressed up until that point, I guess.
Here's where the table, guilty pleasures. You want to blow a diet, you want comfort food, you want the most unhealthy thing, but you're craving it, you gotta have it. I don't get it much because I don't live in Atlanta anymore, but the Chick-fil-A dwarf houses, where they have the full service Chick-fil-A restaurant, and they do more than just the sandwiches. They have something called, and a lot of restaurants do this, I think, hot brown, which is pretty much lard and chicken, I think. It's a creamy lard type thing. It was bacon and toast. Have you ever had this?
No.
You got to try it. If you ever go through Atlanta, go to the Dwarf House and the hot browns. It's really good.
We'll try. Can you imagine what everybody that's listening to this interview, what they're thinking? They're starving right now.
That's
all
right.
We've talked about is food.
Drinking water, not wine. I'm eating veggies from the salad bar line. Yeah, I'm knocking it off 1 pound at a time. Yeah, I'm knocking it off 1 pound at a time. I'm telling myself that I know I can do it. With the good Lord's help, I'm gonna go right through it. I might get a little bit hungry, but I'll be fine, so fine. 'Cause I'm knocking it off 1 pound at a time. I walk to work, ride my bike, I grab a backpack and go on a hike. Yeah, I'm knocking it off 1 pound at a time. I grill chicken Friday nights, I take my vitamins and turn off the lights. Yeah, I'm knocking it off 1 pound at a time. I keep telling
got to go with sweets. Chocolate chip cookies. I came up with a great chocolate chip cookie recipe, and I'll just make a big thing of chocolate chip cookies and just eat them all day.
You make them from scratch?
Yes. Yeah. They're kind of, I'm not a crunchy cookie person.
I'm not either.
Unless it's like an Oreo. I love Oreos. But like a chocolate chip cookie's got to be, for me, just a little bit of crunch on the outside, just a little bit, but then the middle's got to be real soft and real chewy. And I found a great recipe for that. It's just, and you use the mini chocolate chips, the little baby chocolate chips, so you get more chocolate throughout the cookie as opposed to big chunks. Yes, it is. It is in my book.
That's in Wes's book, that particular chocolate chip.
But it's really good. That's probably my big thing. And also, cheesecake is pretty, is pretty indulgent. I mean, that's just so high calorie.
What do you like on yours? Simple?
I'm kind of a purist. If it's, my philosophy is like the same thing with cheesecake and like a great steak. If you got a great piece of meat or great cheesecake, you don't need anything with it. You know, you're just plain. I'm kind of a sucker for strawberry sauce, a little bit of that. Yeah. I'm kind of a sucker for that.
Karen makes a great carrot cake.
That's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that's my
guilty pleasure. That sounds
healthy. She makes a carrot cake for me and brings it over, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Susie.
Mine would have to be French fries and, like, Texas toast and just, oh, man. Whenever I was at school, especially in college, and on Friday nights, if I didn't, most of the time I didn't have a date. So when I was there by myself, I would go to Zaxby's, and I would get chicken fingers and fries and Texas toast.
Oh,
and
it was Zaxby's. Just,
my favorite. It's the best.
So you would say Zaxby's fries
Zaxby's
are your favorite?
Zaxby's fries
oh,
are the
Steak
best.
And Shake.
Oh, yeah.
I love Steak and Shake. We don't have those in Alabama, at least in Birmingham. But you get a triple burger, because you know, the patties are so thin.
Yeah,
you get a single, you can't taste it. Yeah, so you might as well just get a triple. If you're gonna get a double, just get a triple. Yeah.
What about Five Guys?
Five Guys.
Oh yes,
Five Guys is probably the best restaurant burger I've ever had.
It is,
and it feels healthier because everything seems fresh.
Yeah, it is.
Greasy. Fresh fries.
Exactly. That's right. Karen, you would say the Varsity. That's your answer. Guilty pleasure, just get in and go to the Varsity.
No, I live too far, but I was just thinking that would be one if I was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I would have to have something chocolate, like chocolate cake. Do you have one of those layered
chocolate chipmunk cake in this?
Okay.
But and it is awesome.
Okay. My favorite chocolate cake is my mom fixes the homemade from scratch chocolate cake. White icing, white in the middle, and then the homemade chocolate icing. Mm-hmm. The cooked chocolate icing, that's my favorite.
Almost like a fudge. The icing is like a Coca-Cola cake type icing.
Yes. That is my guilty pleasure, and I probably could eat half the cake right now.
Well, as hungry as everybody has gotten talking about.
It's that new wine, the kind that makes you smile all the time. I heard about it just a little while ago, and ever since I did, I just can't let this happy feeling go. New wine, the kind that makes you smile all the time. Pardon my funny grin, I'm just a new wineskin holding new wine.
Now it's not from moonshine, but it comes from sunshine, straight from heaven above.
It won't make you lazy, or make your mind crazy, or make you cry over some long gone lost love. You smile all the time. Pardon my funny grin, I'm just a new wineskin holding new wine.
All right, do this for about 12 seconds.
Try it, you'll have a lifetime supply.
The Savior will give it through His Holy Spirit. Joy like a river makes you feel so fine. New wine, the kind that makes you smile all the time. Pardon my funny grin, I'm just a new wineskin holding new wine. Of
You're listening to Daniel, Brent, and Friends. The topic is food. And around our table, we have Karen and Susan Peck and Jeff Halls from Karen Peck and New River. And we have Wes Hampton from the Gaither Vocal Band. Our discussion of food around this table picks up here.
And then the last question we'll ask is TV cooks. Who's your favorite? And I just saw this movie about Julia Childs, and now
it's a great movie.
And now I'm like challenged. I actually want to go do that. That the whole Julia Childs. What was the book title?
That she did. Julia.
I can't remember the name of the book now.
Well, the big book that she did, an American French Cooking for Americans, or whatever that is. And when I was a kid, my grandmother was French, and so I took a French class, and we had to cook a French dish, and I'd bake this tomato stuff with cream cheese, and it was just incredible. So that would be my right now. I think Julia Childs is on my mind. I want to follow. So
Paula Deen.
Even though you're kind of pushed away from butter, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I will never get away from my roots. I mean, goodness. Yeah. I mean, even though the night this dish that I made for my family, there was a little butter in there. I just think in moderation, you know, it doesn't have to be swimming in it, but just just enough just to
everything in moderation, including moderation.
It really is.
Karen? Honestly, I mean, I would have to say, first of all, my mom, because Mama is a great cook. But I like Paula Deen, but I like Rachel Ray,
mm-hmm.
and I like to watch her. And probably Emeril.
You like Emeril?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Have you been to his restaurant?
No, but I'd love to go.
It's good stuff. Yeah. And by the way, have you been to Paula Deen's restaurant, Wes?
I haven't. The only celebrity restaurant I've been to is one of Gordon Ramsay's. Do you know who Gordon Ramsay? You know, he's the foul mouth chef.
Yeah.
Marsh and I went there in London to his restaurant called Maze, and it was one of the best meals I've ever had.
Really?
Now it cost me, I'm not kidding, in American, the way it converted, it was about $120.
Oh wow.
Just for my meal.
Wow.
But it was unreal.
What did you eat?
It sounds gross, but it was amazing. It was sautéed shrimp with this vanilla bean sauce. It was just incredible. Wow. And then seared scallops. Marsh got beef tongue, which you kind of gag hearing that. It was like the best piece of roast you've ever had. It was just
unbelievable. Small? Or was it?
No, I mean, it was kind of the size of like a small filet.
Was it foul? Was it foul mouth too?
That's a big time.
You know, we had this chocolate cake there. It was great.
Oh wow!
The bread was, you know, just great bread and really high quality butter. And one of my favorite things is a filet. So I got a filet there too. That was just incredible. It was definitely one of the highlights of my culinary experience. It was fantastic.
Jeff, do you watch any cooking?
I do. Food Network. Sandra Lee is probably my favorite cook on there because she always gives you like easy tips and things to make meals, and so I guess she knew. But I like Paul Neat too.
Ooh, Alton awesome. Brown too. I love Alton Brown, the Good Eats guy.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to meet him. Cool. He lives there in Atlanta, and it's my dream one day to meet him and Paula.
A Place at the Table is the cookbook that Wes Hampton has out. I think Susan and Karen easily could probably come up with their own family favorites too, and there's been. There have been some homecoming cookbooks that have come out through the years, haven't there?
Yes, there has. I think there's one now with like the there's like a mini cookbook with a homecoming subscription, or if you do like a new subscription, you get a homecoming cookbook. So it's kind of neat, you know. You get recipes from all the homecoming artists and their families. It's really neat.
It's pretty cool.
I think it's interesting because I love to read cookbooks. And we go to a lot of churches where they have homecomings, and they'll say, "Well, say, do you have a cookbook?" And a lot of them do. We've gotten a lot of cookbooks, mm-hmm. and have gotten a lot of great recipes from those cookbooks. But I love to sit and watch and read the cookbooks, and I get a taste of home at my house, and ever so often. And so, even if those that are listening, even if you don't really cook that much, these books would be great to get because Wes's books would be great to get just to read and kind of see what he fixes, mm-hmm. you know, what are his favorite foods.
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff I fix. And also, I mean, I put in here, like this chocolate chip bun cake that's in here, you know, it has meaning to me because this was one of Anthony Berger's favorite things. Mm-hmm. I made it when I first got in the group. I brought him a chocolate chip Bundt cake. And every time our conversation would go to, hey, Wes, you got that cake on you? It's always kind of the conversation. So, you know, whenever I make that, I honestly always think of him because I know how much he enjoyed that. So.
Well, the song has meaning, and I think, I mean, it really, and, you know, it's a lighthearted subject talking about food, but I think there are a lot of memories that take place over, you know, sharing a meal with someone.
Oh, totally.
Over the family dinner table. So
some of my favorite memories are centered around food, you know, growing up and with my family now. It's just, you know, the conversations and around the table.
And I like for my kids to have those memories of home too, because since we homeschool, you know, I'll always fix them something hot for breakfast. But then, you know, I'll put a roast in the crock pot, and I'll I'll remind them ever so often. Kids, you know, we'll get the house smelling really good. It's cold outside. We don't have to go anywhere today, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And so it's I like to give my kids those kind of memories as well, because I have those memories as a child with my mom.
Yeah, totally.
So don't discount the spirituality that may be involved with that next pot of soup or next roast or next chocolate chip bundt cake that you make. A Place at the Table, WesHampton.com. Karen Peck and New River here with us, and it's been fun talking to you guys about food. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks.
My vessel is empty, but once I had plenty, my soul is barren and dry. Somewhere flows a fountain beyond distant mountain. Let me drink from the river of life.
As we stand here willing to eat from the table alive, drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father.
Have hunger, no man could number the days that I've longed to be in a land filled with honey, where the rivers are running. Very soon now I'll taste and I'll see.
Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to
from the Father's.
Lord, feed your children
as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Sing the chorus again. Drink from the fountain.
Lord, feed your children as we stand.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.